يعالج الجنين. فجاء يوما يعني كان هو الان مكلف وقلت كان يتداول هذا يمكن من اكثر من شخص، فكان هو موكل للرعايه والمتابعه. قال فروحت هذا العشاء يعني رددتها الى مراد في اخر النهار، يعني رددتها الى الموضع الذي تروح اليه الماشيه في اخر النهار. طلعت تفرغت من امرها ثم جئت الى مسجد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال فادركت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قائما يحدث الناس، فادركت من قوله ما لم يدخل يتوضا ويحسن وضوءه ثم يقوم ويصلي ركعتين. كان المسلم يتوضا ويحسن وضوءه يعني يبلغ الله مكانه ويتوضا كما توضا النبي عليه الصلاه والسلام، ثم يقوم فيصلي ركعتين مقبل عليهما بقلبه ووجهه، في عنده خشوع ويتفاهم بقلبه ووجهه الى الله عز وجل من الغناء اذا وجدت له الجنه. قال فقلت ما اجود هذا اذا قائم بين يديه يقود التي قبلها اجود. فنظر الى هذا القران فاذا هو عمر رضي الله عنه قال اني رايتك جئت اهلك يعني جئت قريبا بمعنى انه قد فاتك يعني فاتتك فائده. قال ما منكم من احد يتوضا فيبلغ او فيصبح يبلغ او يصبح يعني يتم ويخرج الوضوء. ما منكم من احد يتوضا فيبلغ او فيصبح الوضوء ثم يقول اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وان محمدا عبد الله ورسوله الا قد حكم الله بنفس كلامه يدخل في ما يشاء. هذا شان وهو ماذا يقول يعني يؤكد الوضوء يكون واضح يقول اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وان محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. روايه اخرى لعقبه رضي الله عنه يقول اشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. عقبه كان عند رعايه الابل ودخل المسجد واستمع الى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأتى حقيقه يعني التعجب والسرور حينما سمع كلام النبي عليه السلام يتكلم عن فضل الوضوء، فضل احسان الوضوء، فضل طلاق الاثنين مع الاقبال عليهما في قلب الوجه الا وجبته الجنه. قال ما في ذلك ولكن عمر رضي الله عنه اراد ان يبين له ان ذلك ما هو اجود من ذلك وذكر الحديث. وهذا طبعا ان الانسان قد يغيب عن مجلس العلم للعذر لكن قد تضيع عليه الظواهر. تضاع على طب الاجود نقل هذا الاجود ونقل الجيد ضروري جدا لنا نقل الاخوه وان يقول الانسان اخي لقد كانت هذا الدرس مهم اليوم حضرنا وطلعت كذا وكذا وكذا ثم يقول له الدائرة الرجل يرجع الى بيته يتكلم من زوجي وابنائي وبناتي يقول اليوم حضرنا مثلا درسا محاضره غدوه انتقلت من كذا وكذا وفاتكم يعني شيء كثير اتمنى لكم الحضور. هذا مهم جدا حقيقه في امر الدعوات الى الله سبحانه وتعالى. زاد الترمذي في بعض الروايات بعد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عليه الصلاة والسلام اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين. تسمعني يا
أيوة تفضل يا شيخ.
أيوة رضي الله عنه يقول عليه السلام: هل توضأ فقال سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. كتب له في رق رأسه وجهان، يعني الجلد الرقيق في قبل الرق أو الوقت يعني عبارة عن جلد رقيق، لكن هذا الأمر لا يزيد عن مؤيد يعني هذا عبارة عن تقييم الله بمعنى أنه يكتب لهذا الإنسان ثم يجعل في طابع يعني في خاتم فلم يكسر إلى يوم القيامة. هذا هنا من يقول سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. بعد أن يكتب من الوضوء فهذا يكتب له في رق ثم يجعله في طابع يعني في خاتم فلم يكسر إلى يوم القيامة. وهذا رواية ابن مسعود قال في آخر كتب عليها بخاتم فوضعت تحت العرش فلم تكسر إلى يوم القيامة. وهذا موقوف على أبي سعيد لكنه في عقد المرفوع لأنه لا يقال في غير السياق من قليل الرأي فهو لكنه في عقد المرفوع في ابن مسعود عليه الصلاة والسلام. فهذه من الأذكار المستحبة عقد الوضوء: أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطاهرين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
Just as a quick addition to the points that the summary that we had presented, or the summary that we had mentioned about, you know, the main points of the wudu, we didn't emphasize the saying the tasmiya after the niyyah. So after the niyyah and before, you know, starting with washing the hands, the one who's performing the wudu must, you know, say Bismillah. And so that was after the niyyah. We hadn't mentioned that in the previous summary. So now we will discuss the adhkar that are mustahab after the wudu. You know, what should be said after the wudu. And the first is from the hadith of Uqba ibn Amir, when he says that he was in charge of basically, you know, watching over the camels and kind of, you know, as they graze or as they feed. And that basically, you know, he was in charge while other people were away. And that he would, you know, take care of them. And at the end of the day, you know, once they had gone to their, you know, I guess like the resting place, he would leave them. And then he returns, you know, to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so he said that, you know, when, in this narration, when he returned, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing and speaking to the Muslims. And what he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say was that there is no Muslim who performs, you know, the wudu and performs it well. Meaning, you know, that he does it as we had explained, and, you know, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then after he performs the wudu, that he prays two rak'ahs, you know, with his heart and kind of like his face, you know, facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So meaning, you know, in khushu' and humility and praying them in perfection for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is then jannah is wajib for him. And so, you know, Uqba, he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say this, and he said, you know, well, this is very beneficial. This is very great news. You know, he was very excited about this. And when he said this, a man stood up, and that man was actually Umar radiallahu anhu. And he, you know, he heard Uqba comment as such, and he said, "Shall I not tell you what is even more beneficial that you have missed? You know, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said." And Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that you know, there's no Muslim that again, you know, performs the wudu and performs it well, and at the conclusion of the wudu says ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna muhammadar rasulullah, you know, says the shahada, shahadatain, that if he does this, then it is compulsory, or it's then the, you know, it's not only is it wajib for him to enter the jannah, but then the eight doors of al-jannah are open for him to enter from whichever door he pleases. And so, in another narration, you know, the dhikr is, it's the shahada, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan rasulullah. So there's, you know, the other narration as well for that. And so, the thing also to take from this is that you know, it's you see here Umar radiallahu anhu, and he saw Uqba, you know, come in and hear this bit of advice from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he had missed something else, and so he kind of filled him in. He told him, you know, you missed a great benefit. Shall I tell you what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that you had missed? And so this is something that we should also, sort of implement, or something that we should also take into consideration. For example, you know, it's, if somebody misses one of the gatherings of ilm, you know, one of the scholars for some valid reason, then the ones that attend, you know, if they hear something and they think it's, they've taken this away as something very beneficial, they should convey it to others and tell them, you know, well, shall I not tell you, for example, what you missed for this particular gathering? Because it's, you know, it's spreading the benefits, spreading the knowledge, and it's also kind of an incentive. It's incentivizing them to come and attend. You know, for example, a man attends and comes back to his family, maybe they weren't able to attend. He tells them, you know, you missed such and such. Maybe next time you go and you get the full benefits. So this is something where we should try and use, you know, as a tool to keep people motivated. Also, there is the other dhikr that is valid and mentioned to say after the wudu is Allahumma ja'alni min at-tawabin wa ja'alni min al-mutatahirin. And then there is also the hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, and this is the narration is in An-Nasa'i, and it is basically that again, following the performing of the wudu, you know, that we should say Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. And in the narration that when this is done, when this is said by the person who performs the wudu, then it is the explanation is as if it is written on something, almost like as if stamped on a ring. This is the narration in Nasa'i, and placed underneath the throne of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala till the end of time. And so it's this hadith or this hadith, you know, narration is mawquf at Abi Sa'id radiallahu anhu, but it takes the hukm of, you know, hadith that's marfu' to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this narration or involves something of ilm al-ghayb, right? Something of the unknown, and so therefore it could not have been Abi Sa'id's interpretation. It must have been that this was from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So even though the chain of narration and the actual hadith is mawquf, it is, you know, in the status of marfu' narration. And so that was kind of the summary of the adhkar to be said, the mustahab adhkar following the wudu. Naam, tafadhal insha.
Yeah.
To discuss, you know, the issue of wiping on the socks, and there are, you know, there are many hadith of, basically demonstrate, you know, the permissibility of this. So we'll mention a few, inshallah. There's Umar ibn al-Mughira. He narrates that from his father that he was traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know, he wanted to remove while the Prophet was performing wudu, he wanted to remove the Prophet ﷺ's socks, and the Prophet ﷺ, he told him, no, leave them, because I had, you know, worn them or placed them on my feet while in a state of wudu. So meaning that, you know, it was okay to wipe over them, and he didn't have to take them to perform the wudu. Also, there are, you know, narrations from Ibn Umar and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas that you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had also wiped, you know, over his socks, and In fact, in one narration, you know, Ibn Umar, he had stood up and he was seen, you know, he had urinated and then performed wudu. And while he was performing wudu, you know, he wiped his socks. And he was asked, you know, oh, Ibn Umar, why did you do this? Why did you not, you know, take off your socks and wash your feet during the wudu? And he answered that I had seen, you know, Ibn Umar saying, I had seen the Prophet ﷺ do as I had just done. And also, there's also a narration of Jarir that, you know, he had also seen the Prophet ﷺ wipe over his socks. And just as a comment on this, or as a you know, commentary on this particular narration, Ibrahim said that you know, what I like about this is that it was you know, Jarir was one of the last to accept Islam, and in fact, in another commentary says that his, you know, the time in which he accepted Islam, or Jarir had entered Islam or accepted Islam, after the ayah making the wudu, obligating the wudu was revealed. So meaning that, you know, this wiping of the feet was one of the last things that was not abrogated. It was established by the Prophet ﷺ following the establishing of the wudu from the ayah. And so this is something that is clearly, you know, valid. And in fact, there is also another narration from Thawban that the Prophet ﷺ, he had sent, you know, out an army. And they had felt the weather was kind of cold, and so they came to the Prophet ﷺ and he ordered them he allowed them that while performing the wudu to wipe over what they were wearing over their heads, so something, you know, that you would wear over your head kind of to keep you warm. He allowed them to wipe over that, and furthermore they were wearing, you know, also kind of like what we maybe refer to as thermal socks now, something to keep their feet warm and their legs warm. And so he also allowed them to wipe over that over their feet and not have to take it off to perform the wudu. And so in fact, you know, so these narrations and many other, you know, they show that amongst the companions there was really kind of there wasn't any disagreement regarding this permissibility of wiping over the socks. And you know, Ibn Abd al-Barr, he says that only Malik from the great scholars thinks that it is makruh, but in general, again, the consensus is that it is something that is permissible. And in fact, we find that, you know, many of the scholars they emphasize this specifically because, you know, certain sects like the Khawarij and the Rawafid, they you know, deny and they kind of attack particular actions or particular things from the Sunnah, such as this specifically, this wiping of the feet. It is not permissible and such, and so it is becomes even more important and more compulsory for us to kind of hold steadfast to this established Sunnah and keep it alive, so that we may have, you know, the ajr for keeping it alive and for all those who keep it alive from after us based on our actions. And so, and in fact, interestingly, we find that, you know, this is something clearly an issue of fiqh, but we find that it was actually mentioned and taught in certain books of the Aqidah, right, the belief, specifically, again, because of the fact that it was, you know, an established Sunnah that was being attacked negated by certain, you know, sects that are astray. And so it is, more emphasis is therefore placed on such, you know, acts of the Sunnah that are well established, such as, you know, this wiping of the feet, wiping on the socks, you know, while performing the wudu. Now, tafadhal ya shaykh. طيب إن شاء الله. So with this we will conclude for today, inshallah. But before we end, are there any questions for the shaykh, inshallah? Are there any questions, inshallah? So I think we maybe have one question that we'll ask. طيب يا شيخ بالنسبة للحذاء يعني مثلا الجورب أو الحذاء المسح يكون على أيهما؟ المسح يكون على الجورب ولا على الحذاء يعني على أيهما؟
أكل من كلام ذات الجارة، إذا لبس الجارة لبس الحذاء على طهارة مستعارة، لا تأكل المسعى على الناعب والجارة كل شيء، لكن إذا لبس الحام الدورة والحذاء ولبس الحذاء على طهارة لا يستعار الحذاء مستعارة.
نعم، ولو لبس الحذاء على غير طهارة يمسح على الجورب؟
اه يمسح على غير طهارة يمسح على الجورب.
نعم ايوه صح. طيب so question for the sheikh was you know the wiping, is it the wiping on the socks or the shoes now, right? Because that's typically what we wear, and basically it depends on you know if the person performs wudu and then he wears the socks, you know, puts on the shoes. So the shoes were put on during the state of tahara, during the state of wudu. Then later on, that you know, you may wipe on the shoes and pray in the shoes. But of course, if you had, for example, performed the wudu, you know, put on the socks, and then before you put on your shoes, you had lost your state of wudu. So now, when you wear the shoes, you can't obviously wipe on the shoes. So you take off the shoes and wipe on the socks. So basically, depending on what you know, what you in the final state of tahara, were you wearing your shoes and socks, or socks only for the wiping? So are there, I don't know if there are any other questions, Joel, I think that's it. طيب, خلاص, I think ما فيش, لا خلاص, انتهت الأسئلة إن شاء الله يا شيخ, جزاك الله خير, I think. خلاص إن شاء الله. طيب, إن شاء الله, السلام عليكم. So I think that's the end, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Shalom la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.